Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, we spoke with Matthew Galsky, MD, about the FDA approval of neoadjuvant durvalumab plus gemcitabine and cisplatin, followed by adjuvant durvalumab monotherapy after a radical cystectomy for the treatment of adult patients with muscle-invasive bladder cancer. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Galsky discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from the pivotal Phase 3 NIAGARA trial, and the role of this regimen in the MIBC treatment paradigm, including for cisplatin-eligible patients with mild renal impairment.
The significance of the approval of perioperative durvalumab for the treatment of patients with muscle-invasive bladder cancer is that it really represents the first time that a treatment has been added to standard cisplatin-based chemotherapy in the neoadjuvant setting and has improved outcomes. So this is really the first advance in neoadjuvant therapy since neoadjuvant therapy is actually shown to be beneficial in bladder cancer. Immune checkpoint blockade has really changed the landscape of treatment for patients with metastatic urothelial cancer, showing that a subset of patients will achieve durable responses to treatment. And so once safety and activity was demonstrated in the metastatic setting, of course, there's an interest in moving new therapies earlier in the course of disease. And so we've had approvals for immune checkpoint blockade in the adjuvant setting in urothelial cancer, and even in the non-muscle invasive setting. So the neoadjuvant setting is actually the only major remaining clinical disease state for which immune checkpoint blockade hasn't been approved. And so that's really the rationale to move treatment even earlier into the neoadjuvant setting, and specifically with this trial, which we'll talk about, use this perioperative or otherwise known as sandwich approach. So the NIAGARA study enrolled patients with clinically localized muscle-invasive bladder cancer. Patients were randomized to receive neoadjuvant gemcitabine cisplatin plus the PD-L1 inhibitor durvalumab for 4 cycles of treatment, followed by cystectomy, followed by 8 additional cycles of single agent adjuvant durvalumab, so that perioperative or sandwich approach around cystectomy. The control arm was standard neoadjuvant gemcitabine plus cisplatin for 4 cycles, followed by cystectomy with no planned adjuvant treatment. The primary endpoints of the NIAGARA study were event-free survival and pathological complete response rate. Overall survival was a key secondary endpoint. Event-free survival was improved with the use of perioperative durvalumab versus the control arm with a hazard ratio of 0.68. Overall survival was also improved secondary endpoint with a hazard ratio of 0.75. The pathological complete response rate was about 10% higher on the perioperative durvalumab arm compared to the standard gem-cis alone neoadjuvant arm. And so really the primary endpoint, event-free survival, the key secondary endpoint of overall survival, all of the endpoints really going in the same direction really is suggestive of an overall benefit with this regimen. Immune-related adverse events with immune checkpoint blockade, of course, we know occur regardless of the clinical disease state for which we use these drugs. What has been the case in bladder cancer so far, and I believe has been the case in other solid tumors as well, is that the scope of immune-related adverse events, the severity, the frequency, doesn't really change based on the clinical disease state where these treatments are used, nor does it change necessarily in combination with chemotherapy. And so what was seen in the NIAGARA study is that the immune-related side effects that were observed are very similar to what you would see when using immune checkpoint blockade in any other clinical disease state, mostly grade 1 and grade 2. The nature of those events was not increased in frequency, increased in severity with the use of concurrent cisplatin-based chemotherapy, nor did it seem to be increased in the post-cystectomy period, which we've also seen to be the case in other studies with adjuvant immune checkpoint blockade. Patients with clinically localized muscle-invasive bladder cancer should be considered for the integration, the early integration of immune checkpoint blockade, and that could include the perioperative approach, integrating durvalumab into the neoadjuvant setting and then the adjuvant setting with the sandwich schedule. A couple of things to keep in mind. One is that the NIAGARA study did enroll patients with urothelial cancer, regardless of the percentage of variant histology. That's a bit different than we've seen in some other studies where the proportion of urothelial cancer had to be greater than 50%. So there was pretty flexible eligibility criteria, and that does translate into the patients that we see in the clinic, particularly with those with a component of variant histology. The second thing to keep in mind is that this was a study where the control arm was cisplatin-based chemotherapy. And so by definition, this is a trial and this is a regimen for cisplatin-eligible patients. That said, this study did include patients with a creatinine clearance of 40 or greater. And in patients with a creatinine clearance of 40 to 60, split-dose cisplatin could be used either as the backbone of the experimental arm or on the control arm, meaning 35 milligrams per meter squared of cisplatin given on day one to day eight, rather than 70 milligrams per meter squared given on day one. That approach has been shown in some small phase two studies to be safer, even in patients with a mild renal impairment. That was reinforced in this study. And so what that does is open the window for potential eligibility for this approach based on renal function. There are multiple studies that are exploring the perioperative approach with immune checkpoint blockade. Niagara is the first to read out in bladder cancer showing a benefit. There are several where we're pending the results. And viewing all of these data in total, I think, will be important in understanding how the landscape shifts in the future.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, give us a like at Enclave and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Enclave on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air.